Sonoma, California.
I'm Naomi Takeuchi, and I'm the Movie Muse. If you like the movies, we'll have an opportunity to talk about films that are screening and have special guests as well. If you want to engage with the film industry and be inspired, tune into my show, The Movie Muse, Sundays at 6 p.m. on KPCA 103.3 FM or www.kpca.fm. See you at the next screening and stay inspired.
I heard there was a new radio station in town.
Oh, you mean Free Range Radio KPCA at 103.3 FM.
Yeah, that's right. How did you know about that?
Well, I just looked where all good information comes from, Facebook. Just follow the Free Range Radio KPCA page and join the discussion. Just keep it polite.
Facebook?
Yeah. Our on-air personalities will post updates and information on their shows, as well as events and news concerning the station.
Following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 3rd, 2018.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. And good morning to everyone out there listening. All the hundreds of people.
Exactly. Thousands.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You're listening to Inside Petaluma this morning for the next hour. I'm Cindy Thomas. I co-host the show with Jason Davies and Janice Gator-Thompson. We have a guest today, but we want to get a couple of things out of the way before we introduce her. In the interest of political correctness, if you will. So, how was your guys' week?
It was a good week.
I don't know what it is, if it's doing this show that's making everything go so fast, but it just seems like every week just keeps going faster since I've been doing this show.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm looking at like Wednesday and then all of a sudden it's Thursday going, oh my God, Friday.
Is this our 16th show or 17th now?
Try doing two shows a week.
Welcome to my world.
So everything goes
good
fast.
Good thing I'm tired.
Yeah, so it's been a busy week.
Been a busy week. A lot of things have been happening.
17th show. This is our 17th show.
17th show.
Time flies.
Really?
17 weeks.
That's hard to
believe. I know.
I feel like it's still on number 3 or 4.
Yeah, how about that city council meeting this week?
Oh, it was splendid. I was home watching it.
Yeah?
Yeah, Jerry had shoulder surgery, so I had to be the, you know, care for him.
Thanks to PCA, you were able to watch it.
Well, I did, and I watched it on my iPad. I saw a lot of really interesting things.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't able to make it there, but...
Yeah.
And the outcome is ongoing.
Yeah, they're going to have an EIR for the Safeway gas station, if that's the topic you're talking about.
I am talking about the gas station.
That's at least the direction that they're going to be going, it looks like, at this point. I think there's still, you know, I still have, you know, a lot of questions as far as, you know, this group, such as who's really backing this No Gas Here group, because I have an email right in front of me, and this is from Vera Seinfeld, who is one of the persons appealing. She says, according to Saki, Safeway gas prices, and Saki's the one that owns other gas stations in Petaluma. So there is definitely a connection between that group and other gas stations owners in Petaluma, and it's actually in writing. So it's interesting.
Okay.
As you go a little bit deeper.
Yeah, they may have different motives, but both agree that they don't want to see the same project.
Well, you know, it's interesting. If you go back and look at some of the other emails and posts from some people part of this group, early on they said, they were saying that how they were going to fight this. Mm-hmm. And they were going to, you know, go in one direction, and then all of a sudden they said, oh, it's next to a school. That's what we're going to do. And so they kind of shifted how they would do their strategy. And it's interesting when you follow the emails and follow the comments, there are so many comments at coming in and out of City Hall. You just got to read all of them and kind of, you know, tie things together. But I thought Teresa was great at the meeting.
Yeah.
I really appreciated her comments.
Yeah.
She was very candid.
Yeah.
I feel some other council members weren't quite as candid. They seemed to know what was going on. And they wanted a raise all of a sudden, and they couldn't read the material because we all work. Well, that's
That was a little strange.
That was pretty strange.
Yeah. I thought that was strange. I mean, when you sign up to be a council member, that's the gig.
That's the gig, exactly.
Your homework.
If material comes, sorry, then you've got to...
Well, the thing is, with this material on Friday... Solari Group,
mm-hmm.
No Gas Here, dropped 90 pages.
Yeah.
And what happened is Safeway responded,
mm-hmm.
and the council, not all council members, but certain ones,
mm-hmm.
just were appalled that they would send so much material in at the last minute.
Yeah.
Well, when you get hit with 90 pages, you have to respond.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I thought the council in that direction was a little disingenuous, mm-hmm. and it seemed like kind of a setup.
I heard... Healy backpedal a little bit and explain why he changed his position from he was the deciding vote on the planning commission to go forward with it.
Well, he was the one that kind of brought it forward and saying why.
Yeah, but so now
did he change his position?
Well, because of the new information that came forward that's now triggered an EIR.
But the new information that just came on a Friday, so yeah. They couldn't really... review
it. For what he and I guess what the staff report said,
yeah.
he made that decision. But he wanted to make sure that he was explaining why his position had changed, and it was because more new information had come to light that wasn't present.
Well, he should have thought about
before.
This over 6 years ago when he started this process.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was really the one that made it roll this direction.
Anyway, so it's going to continue. There's going to be an EIR, and it's probably going to take some time then to go through.
Yeah, well, it'll be a process, and
I'd rather see it take the time to really be...
Yeah.
Well, and
it's good.
They proposed this initially quite a few years ago, and then they kind of pulled back from it, so, you know, a year or so more to go isn't a big deal in the scheme of things, especially if it makes for a better project, you know, assuming it does get approved.
And I think it can, you know, be a better project.
Yeah.
You know, and it all depends, it's all the legal right now.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I would love to be on a fly in the wall on all those depositions because I've been following the material pretty closely.
With today's surveillance technologies, you might be able to be able
exactly.
Micro drones with cameras.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Didn't that all seem like so Jetsonian and like never going to happen stuff? And now it's happening.
Scary.
I always go back to, you know, kindergarten and being in Mrs. Payson's class at Old Adobe School, and she said, someday, in our weekly reader, someday I'm going to be able to take a car from one side of the Sonoma Mountain and fly over to Old Adobe School. And I'll never forget that.
Hover cars are coming.
Exactly.
Or watching the Flintstones. Remember watching the Flintstones?
Yeah, right.
Wow, look at all this.
Or the Jetsons.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting to see that we're actually there today.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting when you all of a sudden see the guy that's drunk driving the Tesla passed out and how two police officers, one got in front of him, one got in back, to make the car stop. And this was in the Bay Area. Yeah. Some guy was drunk and he was passed out in a Tesla and it was going like 70 miles an hour down one of the Bay Area freeways. And one cop got in front, one got in the back to figure out how to slow the car down because of the technology.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because it will do that.
Because it will do that, and they finally got the car stopped, and the guy was passed out, drunk.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this was like last week or the week before.
Wow.
Yeah. So technology has its pros and cons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to holidays.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Hanukkah. It's Saturday night, I think, is the last night.
So I was alluding to the drinking part.
Oh, the drinking. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And actually, we're talking about doing a show on that note.
And I like that idea.
Yeah. And let's not disclose it just yet.
Yeah.
You guys are going to have to wait out there. We've got something up our sleeve.
Here. Yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Anyway. Uh-huh. So, why don't we go ahead and introduce our guest? We're done with that subject.
Yes, we are.
Yes. All right. For the record. We have with us today the incoming Petaluma City Council member for 2019. Hello, Delinda Fisher is with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
It's a very exciting week.
And congratulations again on your win.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm going to bask in the glory a few more days.
You deserve to.
No one expects anything amazing.
Are you taking any time off? Because having run before, I know it's a lot of work. There's a lot of walking. There's a lot of talking. There's a lot of knocking. Did you take any time off?
You know, the timing of the election was perfect, and it was really nice to have that time between not knowing whether or not I won and whether I won, because I was in charge of producing a conference last weekend.
Okay.
And I was a little bit behind in getting that done because of all the activities I was doing extracurricularly. So I did manage to get through the conference and had a staff retreat afterwards and landed home Tuesday night. So I actually won in the middle of all that and wasn't able to actually digest it until I was sitting on an airplane at Dulles Airport at about 7 o'clock at night on my way back here, and all of a sudden, I just started weeping. I went, whoa, wait a minute. Not only did I just have an incredibly successful conference and staff retreat, but I won this in the middle of it all, and it just took me a minute to bask in it.
Well, I think a lot of us felt like you felt, and we're just really proud of the positive campaign that you ran.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, the negative stuff that came out just didn't resonate, and it was really great, and just congratulations.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I had totally forgot. They did a bunch of robocalls.
Exactly. For that wild woman, she used to live in New York and Hollywood.
That was making me want to vote for you even more. I'm like, that's cool.
They did reiterate my message, which was I do have this urban planning experience,
yes,
which is probably invaluable. And
that's true.
So, yeah.
It's nice to have another woman on the council.
Yes, woman running.
Yes,
was for council.
For council, right?
Yeah.
That's
pretty
good.
Exciting. And also, the school board.
Kate, yes.
I mean, you know, she was down 347 points or something, and then beat Sherry Klobowski by 1,100 and some odd.
That was amazing.
It was a great election for women, really, if you consider it. Three women school board members. You're on the council now, Delinda, and then Teresa for mayor. That's a pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, Santa Rosa also had some surprises.
I only voted for one. Oh, no, I voted for two men, I guess.
Okay, so remind us, how many votes at the end, while we were in this waiting period, what was the difference between you and Dennis?
The spread between Dennis and I was 97 votes.
97 votes. Right, and it ended up being, in the end,
441 or something?
Yeah.
And I actually gained the most votes in the count. So when you look at the percentages that I gained, it was more percentage.
Yeah, I noticed how close that
Kevin
Dave
and
King
Dave.
And Kevin McDonald were very close.
It was like two were together and two, the other you and Dennis were close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was still 1,000 votes behind the other two.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So exciting times.
What was the hard part of this whole campaign for you? The most difficult?
The most challenging probably was the beginning and my finding my voice and finding my core and finding my values and being able to learn to express those, I think, was the most challenging part for me. None of it was really hard. It was a lot of work. You know, it was just a lot of things to do all the time. You know, how much can you get done? You know, don't give me one more thing to do, sort of thing. Because I was, again, you know, I have this other obligation, you know, 40 hours a week. And, but it was, physically and emotionally the most challenging was, in fact, being able to articulate and say what I believe.
Yeah. Now, when you talk about all the work there is to be done, I mean, a lot of people out there probably think you just go to City Hall, you file, put your name on the ballot, and that's it. So,
you have to write the ballot statement. You have to create a website. You have to do a Facebook page.
You have to collect money.
You have to have house parties, collect money. I mean,
don't forget those questionnaires. I'll never forget the questionnaires.
Yeah, and it is like starting a business. Yeah. And I've done that, and it was very much like starting a business. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to put all the papers in place, and you have to have all the policies, and, you know.
You have to read the general plan.
I had already done that twice, so
good.
Actually, I wrote it again in the spring. I actually went to I went camping, and
it's
was so windy that I actually, that was what I did, is I read that one more time. I read it actually before I moved here. Because that's the kind of geek I am. But in terms of your question, Cindy, about all the questionnaires, they were really useful. I got better and better at answering the questionnaire because I was able, again, going through that process of being able to articulate and understand what my values were and how that related to what the question was. And then learning to say, okay, well, that question is a bit leading. We had some of the organizations had very leading questions and then kind of peddling back and understanding how to answer. And the first few I did in the interviews I had for endorsements, I was not very good. And I did get better as it went along. Yeah. It was definitely a learning process.
For the benefit of the listeners, give us an idea of about how many questionnaires you received and who were those groups that were sending them to you, just to give them an idea.
Oh, I probably almost 20 I probably filled out. Yeah, so everybody who I wanted an endorsement from or a possibility of an endorsement from, I filled out a questionnaire. And then there were a number of questionnaires from people who weren't necessarily endorsing but wanted to have the candidate's information and their stance on that particular group's position or issue. You know, like the Bicycle Petaluma sent one, and Indivisible, obviously, got their endorsement. And then the Davidon Project. Is it Davidon or Davidon? I don't even know.
It's Davidon. I hear it Davidon.
And I got one, like, in the last 24 hours. There was another one that came through from, not an Indigenous, but the... but another group that I'd never heard of, and that was the only one I just couldn't do. I just let it go. But the rest of them, I did give it. And it does take effort and time and thoughtfulness in order to really answer them in a way that's meaningful. So the last one I did, and then finally wrote them after the election. I said, I'm really terribly sorry, but if there's any way I can get plugged in, please let me know. But I couldn't do it.
Did you get one from the NRA?
No, surprisingly.
I remember getting one. No, I never got one from them, but I did get one from the anti-choice people, which was really weird.
Yeah.
I thought.
Planned Parenthood, all those. I'm saying that you get them from both sides.
I never got one from Planned Parenthood. I would have loved to get one. I would have taken their endorsement.
Maybe I did because I was a woman. Did you get Planned Parenthood?
That's sexist. Yeah. I should have gotten one.
Yeah. Here we go.
I'm a huge supporter of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
But,
and so am I.
Anyway.
Well, it goes to show how the issues have changed over time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So
this was, yeah.
This year's
15
issues
18 years
different.
Ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a church on Fifth Street, and that's where Planned Parenthood was.
I didn't do the endorsement application for the anti-choice people.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. I just
smart.
Like, why?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And I'll admit I didn't do the NRA one either.
I just wasn't interested in that kind of endorsement.
Yeah.
So do we know anything about the robocalls yet? Do we know?
That's supposed to be looked into, isn't it?
I keep pointing fingers. Who's looking?
Yeah.
Where are the interviews?
There was a quote from Teresa Barrett in the paper that she felt that needed to be looked into. So I don't know if the city is doing anything.
I don't think the city's going to do anything about it. I think you have to have an individual group that goes to the FPPC and start asking questions that way.
Yeah. It would make most sense for the people that would were targeted to do it, wouldn't it? Because you're you're like the plaintiff, aren't you?
I think I benefited.
Okay. No, I think you did.
Maybe you orchestrated. Maybe you didn't.
Yeah, right. The truth is coming out.
Right.
I think it's important to know because we know that the police and fire do it all the time.
Yeah.
And this other group, I think they were all tied together, obviously. And they were tied to the big Chevron, Valero, and the Phillips 66. I mean, they were all tied together.
Well, there's a name at the end of it.
Yes, there was.
I can't remember.
It was... I'd have to look it up.
It was
garbled. Nobody could really...
Well, no. You know, we came up with the name.
Yeah, you told me about it.
Yeah.
but I forgot the name.
I can't think of
it. And then the other Michael Regan did his own robocall.
Yes, that was reminded everybody to set their clocks.
Which I was grateful for. I hadn't even realized that was happening. I was like, oh, the day before, okay.
I am not grateful for any robocalls ever.
I'm grateful for the information.
I think they should be banned, though, frankly.
They are.
You know, I think it would be
they're not totally banned.
They have to be introduced by a live person.
Yes.
None of these were.
So these were actually technically illegal.
Exactly.
So, like you said, the FPPC, or for you people out there listening, that's the Fair Political Practices Commission.
Exactly.
So.
So that's true for Michael Reagan's, too.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't a live introduction. Yeah. So they all violated that rule.
Yeah. No, I think it's maybe eventually, or, you know, soon, we can have some change in our election laws in Petaluma, even though, you know, the Supreme Court seems to run everything in our election laws. But it would be nice to have some changes or have that discussion about, you know, robocalls. And, you know, I think it's really important to remember who did those robocalls and the negative of the robocalls. And because a lot of them are city employees.
Well, it also makes me wonder if people that did those robocalls will rethink their effectiveness given the results.
Right. Or, you know, and I'm hoping that I'm kind of looking forward to see if the police and fire are going to actually work with the new members of the city council and how they're going
to
work together. And
maybe
they're going to have to. Exactly. I have this thing is this something that I'm trying to work with a neighbor, and this is happening all around the town.
Yeah.
There's boats, motorhomes, abandoned vehicles on city streets, and the city police department is doing very little. Well, I called the other day and did another complaint, and then I wrote in a complaint, and then they wrote back to me and says, we told you not to use this line. Well, I'm going, this is the complaint line. I'm following the rules that, you know, the city's website has. So I get chastised by Joe Garcia about that, and the police chief has chastised me for it. Well, it's on the website. And so then they want me to call into the police department. So my question is, well, how do I know that everything that whenever I call in that's actually on the public record? I know when I write it, it is on the public record. And there's a real problem with this in this town. And the department is doing very little about it. And I think I'm looking forward to some change on the city council and actually looking out for the public on some of these things.
So, Delinda, a big issue, obviously, is revenues. That's something that obviously was in a lot of the questionnaires. You know, what kinds of things can we do to increase revenues, to fix our potholes and our streets and all this good stuff? I know you've had some thoughts on that. Going in fresh, you know, what are going to be the first kind of things you sort of look at in terms of revenue generation?
Well, first of all, I really need to understand the budget and the budget process.
Yeah.
I mean, I just know about it on a very surface kind of level in terms of what the numbers are and the sources of our revenues.
Yeah.
But I really want to dive deeper into it, and so I really do understand the minutia of it in order to be able to even discuss it in a meaningful way.
It's complicated, and it's really smart. I mean, that's what you should do. You have a learning curve, and you get in there, and you ask people for help, and, you know, you work with your colleagues.
I mean, the challenge is it appears there really isn't much to trim at this point.
Correct.
So in terms of going through the budget and trying to say, oh, can we squeeze this or that, it seems like that's kind of already been done. So I just wondered if obviously you've probably been thinking about ways to generate revenue, and if you're not prepared to mention any of them now, that's fine. I just wanted to throw that out there as a question.
There was one I learned that from one of our supervisors, and that is looking at a transfer tax, single-family homes in our community over a certain amount of money, whether it's $750,000 or whatever that number is. Do we do a one-time transfer tax that's paid either by the buyer or the seller? And, you know, I don't know how that would be negotiated. As a way to raise some revenue. And the other thought is heavy vehicles that have a more of an impact on our city streets than lighter weight cars.
Mm-hmm.
And is there a way to induce a fee on heavy vehicles to help pair their proportionate share?
I like that idea because it's, like you said, it's proportional. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the issues that Janice was bringing up the other day.
I've been bringing up for years.
With these
trucks 20 years
coming
about what's going to happen when certain developments happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And what I predicted, or 20 years ago is exactly what's happening. You have 18-wheelers up and down every road in this town now. And you never really looked at a real transportation and circulation around a community. And you're stuck
with
this
now. Truck routes and
truck routes and
perhaps that's where the funding goes to. So you funnel in those heavy vehicle funds directly to those truck routes and let everyone know, all our businesses, that those are the truck routes.
Right. So with the gas tax, though, you trucks, I think, pay more. And I think I'm correct on that. And so how would that affect, how would a city go in and add a tax on or a fee if it's already, they're already paying higher with the gas tax? And I'm just saying this because I really don't know what the answer is. I don't even know if it connects together.
Yeah, and I don't know, again, whether it's a sales, on the sale of the vehicle, whether there's an additional fee you can impose on the sale or the lease. As the case may be.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know how it would work, but I mean, it definitely needs, something needs to be done.
Well, a real obvious one was the TOT, but I guess that's kind of, that ship maybe sailed for now with that assessment district that the board told us.
That's unfortunate because
we could have gotten much more.
We could have gotten it. That would have passed in this town this time around. And David Glass and Teresa Barrett have been pushing that. Yeah. And the majority on the council have said no.
Maybe it'll come up again with a new council.
Well, but I think it's important to realize that there are other cities in the county that successfully passed TOT this time around.
Yeah.
And for some reason, this city council will not budge. So I'm hoping our new city council looks at the value, $400,000 to $500,000 a year. That's not chump change. And I know that David Glass has tried to work with the police to support the TOT, so the money would go to them, and they wouldn't support it.
Here's a crazy idea, and, you know, it's crazy to some. It's not to me, but how about the idea of maybe allowing dispensaries in town as a way to raise more revenue. I mean, we're losing out to Cotati, Sebastopol, Santa Rosa, San Francisco. I think Marin only has delivery service. Think of all of that income that we could get.
I talked to Mark Landman yesterday from Cotati, and I'll tell you, they've got a chunk of money coming in.
I mean,
they do.
Think of how many potholes we could fill with pot sales.
With pot sales.
Makes sense to me.
It sounds like a billboard.
Well, and I think Cotati is actually adding another fee on top of just sales tax. So so they're, the tax when you go to Cotati to go to Mercy Wellness.
Yeah, I've gone there.
it's a big tax.
Yeah, it's always surprising because you come to the counter, it's like, what the hell?
Right.
How does it get that expensive?
Exactly.
Not that, I mean.
I believe we should allow dispensaries in our city, and I think I have said that publicly.
Good, because it was funny.
And I don't know that we should add another tax.
Not necessarily.
We
could be more competitive with Cotati.
Yeah.
But I think it's fun. It's good that you say that because I remember one of the candidates who was not successful, didn't win. He was talking about, I'm going to leave no stone unturned. I'm going to do this and that. We can't rule anything out for generating revenue except when it comes to dispensaries. It's like, we're going to raise the heights of buildings. We're going to do all this stuff, but not ready for dispensaries
That's
yet.
Pretty crazy.
That's not leaving no stone unturned, in my opinion. Anyway.
Well, I think I appreciate you bringing that up because I think it really is a good revenue source that the city really needs to look at, and what does it look like? What number are we looking at? How many dispensaries we should have? And I think it's something valuable.
Well, the other problem,
and viable.
Delinda, you probably have an opinion on this as well, but I know that Teresa had said in the paper, Teresa Barrett, our newly elected mayor, that the big problem with not allowing dispensaries in Petaluma is they're allowed in the county. So these things can open up like right across the city limits where we have no control. We have no enforcement control. We get no revenue from it. So we still have those impacts of, you know, not being able to control the situation without the revenue gains. I don't see a lot of strong arguments against it at this point.
Well, every incremental, you know, increase helps the city. But I think we need a lot more than that. We definitely, you know, it worries you when the stock market goes so crazy in 3 days because, you know, all the pensions and everything is tied to the stock market. And so it's, you know, when you have PERS and stuff, it's concerning how the city is going to get through paying those costs for pensions when the stock market goes so crazy.
Yeah, but the pension liabilities over the next 10 years are going to be very challenging.
It sounds like it's going to be pretty hard to avoid having some type of tax. Yeah. So that kind of is one of the realities, it seems. So have you given any thought to that? What kind of taxes you support?
I think that's a good start for a town hall meeting. And let's get a committee together. Well, you know, I'm not making all the decisions. So, yeah, you know, so I need some real support in this regard.
But at this point, do you have any ideas about what kind of taxes you might support or not?
I am not in favor of sales tax, although I did support the parks tax. So
That was a worthy tax. That was a worthy tax.
You mentioned committees. What types of committees do you have in mind?
You know, I've got an environmental committee that's getting underway. That seems to be the one that bubbled up first.
You mentioned fairgrounds, and that is a potential revenue source we didn't touch on yet.
It is.
And you said you were going to put a committee together with 18 people or something.
that is my recommendation. Yeah. That in order to look at the fairgrounds and what we do with that and how we plan it out, that we do have a planning committee of I suggested 18 people could be that or not. Half of them appointed by the fair board and half of them appointed by our city council. Yeah. And that it be a viable planning process over the next 3 years where it's a public process. Yeah. Monthly meetings, they're facilitated, we have planners present. And I'd like to talk about our planning department in a minute.
Sure.
So I do have some thoughts about that. One of my priorities. Having that committee. But Cindy was asking me internally, so people that have been involved in my campaign, you know, we have our kitchen cabinet, which we're actually calling the garage gang because that's where we meet in my garage. It's the only place big enough. So people have been stepping forward and wanting to be involved in this process. And so people with an interest, I've got somebody who wants to be on a zero waste committee and head that up because that's her passion. And Cindy mentioned the other day that she might be interested in being on a pensions committee and what that looks like. And in order to host town hall meetings, you know, again, I'm one person. I can't do all this. I need all of you behind me, and I appreciate your support thus far in the process. And we, you know, we've got another 4 years. We're just getting started. Yeah. Whether those committees are the ones that host the town hall meetings, I do envision that for something like the environmental committee, to get input from the public and to have dialogue and interaction. Pension committee, maybe not. You know, maybe that's more of a policymaking kind of heady intellect kind of committee that gets together, and maybe housing as well. Mm-hmm. So those are the ones that are bubbling up to the surface. It's not that I have any preconceived notions about what those might be, because I think that it has to come from people who are interested and passionate about those and wanting to be a leader assist with this.
So, process, not necessarily positions at this
correct.
Point.
Yeah. And again, really a way to involve community, whether you want to be involved in a more dynamic and constant way or just dropping in, you know, every 3 months or 6 months. So, but allowing our community to be involved in some way.
Yeah.
Well, that's the beginning process of interest-based problem solving.
Yeah.
Which is really the way
what we
right.
need to do.
Yes,
exactly. Which is what we need to do.
Well, I think what it's really exciting about the fairgrounds and the new council that we have.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that is the most valuable piece of property, and it's a problematic piece
worth
of property.
Worth a lot more than a dollar a year.
Well, it's worth more than a dollar a year, and there's a lot of environmental issues with the property, but there's so much value.
Yeah.
And it's exciting because, you know, I worked on this many, many years ago. You know, and then they extended the lease.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that is the most valuable piece of property, and it's the key to the direction the city is going to be going.
When was the lease extended last?
It was probably within the last, I want to say, 8 years. I'm not really sure, but it was extended.
Wasn't it a 20-year lease?
It was a 20-year lease.
And it's up in?
In 23.
Okay,
Yeah. And so, you know, to extend it was kind of interesting. So I'm really glad. I appreciate that there's a new council going to look at this with fresh eyes.
So yeah. It is their key central piece of property that the city owns.
Yeah.
And again, I said this on the campaign trail, and I envision this as being a place that our community really does come together because it is so centrally located.
It is,
and a place
absolutely.
And I did say that, you know, I personally would like to see all of our city services be on that property and that we really rebuild our critical infrastructure for our city and our fire department and police department.
Well, I'd like to see the fire and the police department together because you don't have to have two different facilities.
Right.
I like the idea of City Hall being there, and I've liked it for about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought it was a good idea 20 years ago, and I think it's still a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You have valuable property downtown that could be sold, demolished, and you could have great housing.
Mm-hmm. Great parking for those big meetings.
And then you have, exactly.
I still love the idea of a performing arts center, like something like the Luther Burbank.
The interesting thing with that is, you know, you keep hearing that the school is going to be building one at Casa Grande.
Mm.
I kind of like one at the fairgrounds. I mean, I think that's a really
somewhere a
valuable place. And maybe the school and the cities can now start working together because there's always been a division. You could never cross the two.
Mm.
And I'm hoping with this new school board and the city council that they'll actually start working together. Because when I was on the city council pushing, working together on certain things, I'm telling you, that was not the way to go. It was way too progressive at that time. And now I think you really have a chance to work together because there are a lot of issues that overlap.
Mm-hmm.
And the school has quite a toxic site right next to that area. They have a gas area that's extremely toxic, and that needs to be cleaned up. And so they need to be involved in all of this.
Well, the fact that they're such a big property owner in our city and
exactly.
in every one of our neighborhoods and communities, and that busing our kids and getting our kids to school is such a major part of our traffic infrastructure and transit issues that I think working together is really critical.
Yeah, I mean, you're very separate, but you need to work together on certain things because maybe the Performing Arts Center could be more centrally located than at Casa Grande, and it might be a better use for the money. So I'd like to know what their thought was, why they were going to put it there. Just would like to know more.
Well, it'll be interesting.
We'll see what this committee comes up with.
Yeah, and with new school board members and new people on the council, I'm sure there's some new opportunities.
Yeah, I think there is.
That was a big surprise, I guess. Remember when Brian Sobel was on it? I said, well, Caitlin Quinn, she could still maybe come out ahead. Like, no, there's no way she's going to. It's insurmountable. There's no way.
That is normally true. And that's why it was so interesting to see that change and those numbers change because you really want to know more statistics. Okay, who were those last-minute voters? What triggered it that they went for, with Caitlin to that point? I mean,
well, it goes back to what I was saying before is a lot of times in Petaluma anyway, progressives break later. That's what we've seen.
This is a big break. I mean, this was unusual, and it's exciting to see.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, 68% of the voters in Sonoma County vote absentee. So that's who these votes were. They weren't necessarily late voters. They may have been
early
voters.
They were in the sense that these were from absentee ballots that were cast on election day. So what I mean late meaning they get their absentees, but this is just a trend, it seems, over time, that progressives generally don't turn them in as early as others. So that's just what we found through the course of monitoring these elections is that
conservatives look at things very differently. I think progressives kind of like to see what's going on and really understand
the elected person,
where I think Republicans, they vote Republican, and this is who we're going to stand with, and we're not budging.
I don't know what the reason is, but I can tell you that's what happens. Yeah. Well, that's what I think, personally.
But you're a voter. That's different.
I know that a lot of times I will go and drop it in a ballot box, absentee ballot, because I don't know if I'm going to be out of town, so I just keep my status as absentee, just in case I am someplace and I want to make sure I vote. So,
somebody called me the day of the election, and she's not registered. She goes down to the community center. They can't find her name anywhere. She's panicked on the phone, and so I said, let me see what I can do. So I ended up giving her some suggestions, and it didn't pan out, so then I ended up calling the county. You could drive up to the county by 8 o'clock.
And get
as long as you were in line, you could register and vote.
Yeah.
And so I felt like it was great. So I'm wondering how many people actually registered that day also.
Well, we'll have to get Jason, Mr. Analyst, to get that data for us for the next show.
Well, they had 500 provisional ballots, and as I recall, over 100 conditional ballots.
Yeah.
Conditional are the ones that registered to vote?
Yes. Okay. I believe so.
Okay.
Just 100? I mean, just in this area.
In Sonoma County. Yeah. That's what it was, because we had 81,000 votes left to be counted in the end.
Exactly.
And I can tell you, I was going door to door up until the night before the election.
Wow. I went with you. They went.
Yeah, Jim and I were out that weekend before. We were moving fast.
She was.
Okay, well, I don't want to lose track of the the point that you made earlier that you wanted to talk about planning. So
yeah, you wanted to talk about that.
I want to give you plenty of time to talk about planning.
Well, I was just going to relate to people, and I saw the trends in the last 2 weeks. So after the ballots dropped, and I was going door to door, and you know, people would say in the beginning, "Oh, I already voted, and mm-hmm. I voted for you," or they didn't tell me, which presumably they didn't vote for me,
mm-hmm.
Or that they were looking at it. And even up until that last weekend, it was like, yes, you know, my wife and I are sitting down at the kitchen table, and it's sitting there, it's waiting for us. And so I don't know if it's a procrastination, but, man, people lead very busy lives, and that was a very thick ballot.
Well, I have to say, when I walked with you, I said, I'm supporting Delinda Fisher, and this is her information. I'm walking with her, and she's over there. They wanted to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I mean, it was like, boom. And they came out or stopped their car, and they talked with her. And, I mean, this is probably about 3 people, which was a good number because it wasn't a huge area that we walked.
Shows that is, I think, the most meaningful thing in terms of reaching voters. Mailers, you know, I'm not saying people shouldn't send mailers, but you can't just do that. I mean, you've got to walk door to door. You've got to reach out and talk to people. They appreciate it.
We think we hit about 8,200 doors.
That's awesome.
Because we had 8,500
makes a huge
hand
difference.
Cards that we delivered.
I mean, same with Teresa.
Really?
I mean, they were just
I picked them up.
Everywhere. I don't know how much walking the other candidates did. I just don't know.
I Dennis walked a lot.
I know Dennis did.
He really did.
Yeah. I know he did. I know you did. I know I'm pretty sure Kevin and Teresa did. I don't know about the others that lost. Anyway, it's good to walk. So, tell us about planning.
Yeah, I lost 5 pounds. Planning department. I've been thinking about this, particularly in light of the meeting this week. And I do think for the future of this city and for us to be able to plan appropriately that we do, I would like to see us have a development department again and to bring our planners in-house and, you know, be able to cultivate some real talent to work with our new city manager and the city council moving forward. Because I think the planning issues and development, you know, they really are what shape our city in a physical form, which has such a vast effect on our well-being and our way of life. And I just think it's such a critical department that the fact that we're outsourcing it, I just don't think it's
fee for service. And so we're looking at how they're going to be making money because they want to keep their job. But I do want people to go and look at Monday night's meeting, specifically watching the 2 planners that were sitting in the front row.
Yeah.
Some of their faces was very telling of the direction that meeting was going.
Mm.
And they should be stone-faced. They should not be giving their cards away, and they certainly were.
Mm.
And I really think we do need somebody in-house that cares about this community, is not making money, because a lot of times they will continue keeping something moving, and next thing you know, it costs a developer $70,000.
Right.
And so this is how they continue to be able to for them to make money.
Well,
it's a problem.
I was going to say, and I think it is, as I mentioned, having worked for developers for 25, 30 years, that and having lived with one all my life, my father, that understanding that developers really need certainty in the planning process to be able to make a project viable and to make it work. To be left hanging on for 3 years is not does not work for a developer. They're not going to come to town. Mm. And I met one when I was walking door to door, and he's building in Oakland, I believe, and he said he would never build in Petaluma because there is absolutely no feasibility because of the lack of assurances and an ability to move projects forward in a meaningful and fast-track manner.
I wonder how he finds building in Marin.
He's not building in
Marin. She said Oakland last.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
No, I know.
I don't think we're the only ones that are, you know, can be a little bit difficult in terms of approving projects.
Well, it's difficult, but also when you look at some of the stuff that has been approved, I mean, it should never have been approved.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, we can talk about the riverfront project.
Yeah.
I mean, the access in and out of there is a nightmare. Didn't you and I, Dan, Cindy, we drove down there, and it is very, very problematic.
Yeah.
And this was a city council that had the majority that just closed their eyes and worked for the developer. And I'm really looking forward to a city council working with the developer and the community.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of the council members actually went down there and walked the site before.
Well, I'd like to walk them down there right now and see what they approved, and then they can see for themselves.
But back to your point about insourcing rather than outsourcing planning, wasn't that a budgetary decision? So so that goes back to where's the revenue to do what you want? If you wanted to bring it in-house, obviously there's a...
It's the same revenue, whether it's fee-for-service or not, right? You're still...
Well, no, I mean, that's the question, though. Are we paying... Are we paying more to have our planning outsourced than we were when it was insourced? And the reason I ask that
is...
Because that...
We're not.
But that was my point, because the rationale for doing that wasn't just, let's take it out of house. It was taken out of house for a budgetary reason.
Correct. That's right.
Because it was a money-saving thing. Right. So I'd like to know how much money we've actually saved, because if your point is, well...
Money's not everything.
Well,
my point.
I understand, but of course, obviously, then there's what tax are we going to put in to make it happen.
Well, these are things that you need to bring forward and, you know, get the votes. So we make sure that you have a committee or that the city is actually looking at that and you get that information.
Because there's going to be a whole lot of people saying, before we do that, we need to, you know, shore up police. We need to fix potholes. I mean, it's hard. There's going to be a lot of things to balance. And it's harder, I think, once there's already been a decision to do something like outsourcing, if it's actually saving money, to then bring it back in-house.
Well, and let's go back to the stock market and the economy.
Yeah.
I mean, that drives everything.
Yeah.
And you can really have some big problems.
Yeah.
People are not going to come in and start developing when there's so much uncertainty.
Right.
And the uncertainty is there, and, from listening to the, quote, experts, financial experts, it looks like we're probably going to have a downturn, and we don't know what's going to happen. And then we have, Maniac as President of the United States that seems to be able to say a word and the stock market drops to 800 points and 500 points and 400 points.
Yeah, there's global,
and that affects everybody.
There's global uncertainty,
yeah,
for the next couple of years.
Yeah. and we do know that
we have past that.
Yeah. We have an incredibly desirable community that we live in, not only geographically, but weather-wise and the people here and so I'm going to push back a little bit. So even if the economy is a little bit uncertain, we still are a very desirable place. And if I were a developer, this is the place that I would
totally agree.
And that is true.
Totally.
And that's
very
fine.
True.
That's fine. But let's have smart development.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Well, that's the point.
I think, and again, I would really like to be able to open up our general plan and look at it again. It's been 10 years since we've really taken a look at what's happening, and we've done a lot of things that, may not necessarily be what the general plan said we wanted to be doing. So let's look at the effects of that has had on our general plan. And, the question is there money in the budget to do that? I know that we do have, there is a pot of money for planning in the budget.
Yeah.
But I think waiting another 10 years, so for the 20-year mark, and when we have to, mandated by the state to reopen our general plan and to look at it again, I think it's too long.
I think you're right, probably. And then there's also the budget issue. How much does it cost to reopen the general plan?
That's a lot of money. You really have to be prepared. But I I think you're right. Yeah. Well, you know, I always go back every show, you know, talking about Deer Creek and then, you know, talking about the target site.
Yeah.
You know, it is so important. The target site is right next to the fairground.
Yeah.
And the developers have got to be part of what's going to happen because that that's already been sold to a new developer. Who are they? What's their model? What kind of changes do they want to get? How do you integrate the two together? Because you really want to get, I'd like to see more housing on that site, which could happen.
Did you hear the point that Teresa made in the council meeting where the Deer Creek Center
right
now is thinking about adding housing because they have too many vacant retail spots? And this was exactly
what
Alternative C was supposed to be.
That's exactly right. And you know, and this is the problem is now you're retrofitting a shopping center. That's what the problem is.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I talked to Greg Gerson, I said, you know, Greg, you should have listened. It should have been a mixed use. And they have large vacancies there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hate to keep telling them that, but every time I talk to him, I say, you should have listened.
Well, it's a historic model building shopping centers like that. We know from around the country that, you know, that is not the model moving forward.
That's right.
It is not the direction that our country and our
country is taking. Well, and that's the beauty of the new council, because I think you look at it very differently. Yeah. This was pushed through with Mike Healy. And he got the votes for that. Pardon me?
Naming names.
Well, no, I'm going to name names. I mean, that's the fact. That is the fact of the matter. And, you know, and this is what happens. You push a project because you're working for the developer. You're supposed to work for us, not the developer. We come first. The developer comes second. Then you end up with great projects. And more revenue. I mean, there's a lot of revenue that is not coming in at both shopping centers. And because nobody looked at Amazon and blah, 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 blah.
The thing is, all that information was available.
No, it was brought up, too. It was actually raised.
Yeah. So there's a revenue source.
Yeah.
Amazon.
Well, yeah.
So what can we do? Can we collect sales tax from Amazon? Can we
do
something?
We do.
But it really trickles down.
Don't you have to
add
it onto your taxes and say, this is how much I buy?
No, not anymore. They fixed that.
It's an automatic tax, but you still don't get as much as a direct tax into the city.
Yeah, no, you don't.
Because the county gets part of it, the state gets part of it, so there are other people taking part of that pie.
Where does it come in?
It probably comes into the state, and then it goes down to the counties, and then it trickles down to
and
the
cities. It's based on where you ship to as well.
Yeah,
so
again,
I'd
really like to dig into this budget and really understand what those numbers are where the money is coming from and from whom.
Car sales is another place where we get revenue, housing sales. At one point, I remember several years back, there was the idea of luring some higher-end car dealerships into town. There was even discussion about Alfa Romeo possibly coming. Didn't end up coming, but that is another revenue source.
From my understanding, we're going to be not having any. We can only have electric vehicles in Petaluma, and maybe not sell gas vehicles.
There's also that might happen in California eventually. I mean, that's what they're proposing.
But this is your revenue source. I mean, it's an interesting problem that you have. When that was the revenue source starting like in the 90s when they were developing the car dealerships.
Yeah.
That's to bring revenue sources in.
Yeah.
And so, you know, now you're looking, you know, 25 years later, and you really see changes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that could be said about other things, too.
The good thing about a car, though, is if you buy it somewhere else, the tax does go for where
that
you actually live. So I just leased a new Eagle.
Yeah.
And just over the weekend. And the revenue will go into Petaluma.
Now, that is the one thing. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that point up because I was thinking that earlier.
Yeah.
So that's really what you want to do is how to figure out how to get the revenue sources when you're buying on Amazon or other areas. So how did that work with the vehicles? I don't know, but I do know that revenue source goes to Petaluma.
Well, sales tax revenue and property tax revenue are two main sources.
Right.
And Purple Pipe?
What about it?
For selling gray water?
We do sell it.
Yeah, but we could be doing more of it.
That doesn't go into our general fund, though. That goes into a different fund.
There's a lot of different funds that money goes into that you're not supposed to tap into. Yeah. You got to watch those tapping, because I'm telling you, Brian Moynihan will know, and I will tell you, he has been right about that, taking money from sure. certain funds. He's been correct
yeah.
on that.
Yeah.
So
the way he goes about it, though, is a little...
Well, you know, it might be the way he goes about it, but he is correct.
Yes,
and you've got to give him kudos for
yeah.
being correct.
Yeah. yeah.
Yeah. And maybe if the city listened, then we wouldn't, yeah. you know, it would have been a different story.
Yeah.
So...
So, anything else you want to enlighten us with in the last couple of minutes of our show?
Those are the big things on my mind. I think I covered most of them.
Well, thank you for coming into yeah. the community. Thank you
thank
for
you
running
much.
For city council. And thank you for winning. I think it was great. I mean,
that
it's
wasn't
just,
up to me. That was
you. But you, ran
you,
a very,
did,
you really
yeah.
ran a great campaign.
You did a good job.
Thank
yeah.
you very much.
Yeah,
we worked really
job.
Hard.
Yeah. Didn't yeah. hear anybody say anything bad. About you.
Except
that's
for Robert.
Except for having
and
you
know, that was laughable. I mean, I did. I was
yeah,
laughing
was
out loud
very
when I listened to that.
I thought.
Really?
And there was some pushback about the fact that I've only been here 5.5 years.
Yeah. Well, you know your stuff. We heard it today. You're telling me stuff that I don't even know. I've been here since 91. So.
I've been very observant since I arrived.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's a good
yeah.
job. So thank you to everyone in the community for the support that you
okay.
gave me. And I'm honored to serve. And again, please help me.
You know, it really is an honor to serve your community.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a badge of honor that you should wear proudly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I look at all these people that ran and then they didn't win and then they just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it that when people run, they stay involved.
Right.
You know, it's not about always winning and losing. It's about how you stay
yeah.
connected to your community.
Mm-hmm. I'm not.
And those are friends, Matt.
Two looks and a mic.
Yeah,
everybody waiting to come in. They're waiting to come in. Yeah, go ahead. Invade us. Invade us.
Guys, how are you doing?
Yeah. Well, we're still on, but we welcome you.
We just opened up the studio.
And you guys out there, stay tuned because following us is Two Mooks and a Mic.
Closely, I hope.
Huh?
We're not following too closely.
Yeah. We got Matt
yeah.
McGuire and Jim Thomas. They're haranguing us here to
yeah.
get out so they can come in. So
hey,
I think we're going to do
11:55.
It is? Oh, bye.
We have 2 more minutes.
It's always a fun time down here at KCCA. And with that said, you've been listening to Inside Petaluma with myself, Cindy Thomas, and co-hosts Jason Davies and Janice Cater-Thompson. And we've had Delinda Fisher with us here today. Thank
council
you, Delinda.
Member. Oh, not
council member.
I want to give a good kudos to Cindy.
Yeah.
I mean, you do a great job. And thank you for all you do with Petaluma Community Access and what you do in our community.
Thank
you too, Jason.
Thank you.
I mean,
thank
you know,
you,
it's
thank
fun
you,
to work with the three of you.
This is the part where we all thank each other.
Oh, we like that. We're like siblings, you know, we can argue and sit down and have a good time.
This is the part where the music comes in and we say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye,
have a good weekend.
We love you, Petaluma.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Just a little bit, and I want to thank you all for listening. I want to remind
This Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 3rd, 2018.